Ricardo, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
You're the world champion! You're the triple world champion, Sebastian Vettel!
Can I do that?
Bonus will not be required, thank you.
Take that as a yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Mark Webber, and you're listening to the 2013 Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the Constructors. Thank you. Well done.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast and to round 8 of the 2013 season, just a short hop from our Milton Keynes headquarters. Silverstone is our factory's home race. And what a weekend to be in the UK. Glastonbury is in full swing, London is playing host to Wimbledon, and the world's eyes are set upon Northampton for the British Grand Prix. This will be the 64th time the UK has staged a Formula One Grand Prix, with Silverstone staging its 47th F1 race this year. The circuit has come a long way since it was turned from a wartime airfield into a motor racing circuit. It's now one of the world's most famous motorsport venues. Set in the heart of the Northamptonshire countryside, Silverstone Village isn't quite Monte Carlo, Barcelona or Montreal, but it does always provide an interesting race, and it's widely regarded as one of the best tracks to race at amongst drivers. On this edition of the podcast, we speak to both our drivers about their Grand Prix weekends. We have all the usual people you'd expect to hear from on the podcast, plus we speak to some massive names, including boy bander turned DJ Marvin Humes, Jerry Halliwell, Amanda Holden, and our old mate Goldie. First, it's been a big week for Mark Webber. He announced his retirement at the end of the season. Silverstone is a special place for him, with the UK being his second home. Katie went to find out what he likes about it.
Mark, what's your greatest Silverstone memory?
The 2010 victory was pretty special. It's my first win here. It's the home race, in a way, for lots of people from the team. Also my second home race. I live in the UK, so the fans here are second to none, I think. They're right up there with the Trifersi in terms of the Italians. The English have lots of teams to support. Formula One's been an integral part of motor racing in the UK for so long now. So again, it's a brilliant weekend for the build-up. It's such a prestigious event, and you know that's why it's so nice to get a great result here. So it's an old-school circuit too, fast and flowing. Very demanding on the driver in terms of accuracy and the car for that matter, so you can really let the Formula One car go around here and you feel like you're a Formula One driver.
Do you feel any pressure at this race because it's the local race for the factory?
No, not really. I think that we obviously want to do our best at every single event that we go to. It might be a little bit different to Bahrain or Korea or India, let's say, because there's still 25 points and still it's a very special opportunity to get a top result, but you know that it means probably just that little bit extra for all the staff members that we have and their families, because they're probably going to be here watching us and they're very proud of our car and the effort they put in during the year, and it's their showcase. You know, they can sort of show off, I suppose, to how proud they are of the car and the team.
And the team has actually has an area of the grandstand where lots of the factory staff go. Can you see that when you're going around? Can you see like Red Bull shirts and things like that or not?
No, I can't. Probably after the race you get to see a little bit more. Flags are the most powerful things probably the drivers get to see, so we can see flags that are waving, and whether it's different nationalities or different team flags, let's say. So yeah, if there's Red Bull Racing flags out there, then yeah, it's something we'll probably pick up.
Okay, so the guys need to get their flags ready then for that weekend.
Flags are the most powerful thing for us guys, so make sure that everyone buys a Red Bull flag.
We've all been waving our flags vigorously, Mark. My hand is hurting right now. On to the race now, and it was a fantastic one for Mark. He came second after a thrilling end to the 2013 British Grand Prix, while Sebastian's race was cut short after 42 laps. A late change from Mark saw him finish just 0.765 seconds behind race winner Nico Rosberg, a result which keeps him fifth in the championship on 87 points. Here he is after the race.
I don't think any of us expected it to unfold like this. A horrendous start. I had no idea what happened there. We need to obviously look into that after this, such a good run of starts we had up to that. Then after that, contact with Grosjean, the wing was damaged. And I thought, my God, yeah, to change the front wing. The boys did a great job there. And then we really got into the race. I was praying for a safety car, but actually not in the way they were coming, you know, because you know you could be definitely next. It's Russian roulette. So when you see that many tyre issues for the fellow, you know, for your, you know, fellow competitors, it's never comforting. So yeah, I made the most of those safety cars. Strategy was one of the best we've done, I think. Worked very, very well. I had to manipulate the pace as strong as I could when I had to go. And yeah, I thought, okay, here's Nico. He's the one. He's finally the one left. So yeah, I passed. I don't know how many cars, but I had one more to go. Yeah, would have been nice to have a few more laps, but you know, anyway, that's the way it was today. You know, we could easily be standing here with two punches and no points, so podium and nearly a really special day, but still a nice day.
Not such a good story for Seb, who was forced to retire after 42 laps with a mechanical issue while leading the race. Here he is after he stopped.
Had a gearbox issue. I think fifth gear broke and damaged the rest of the gearbox as well, so that it was not possible to carry on. Shame, because we were in a good position. You know, it's a nice race to win. Yeah, I guess we have to come back next year and try again. It's difficult to feel inside the car what you can do wrong, because we've, you know, done a lot of laps here. So I obviously saw the damage Lewis had early on when he lost the rear left tire. After that, I just got the call to avoid curbs. I'm not sure whether it's curbs or something with the track or something with the tires. So, we obviously tried to be as careful as we could and equally try to maintain position.
Seb still tops the Drivers' Championship with 132 points ahead of today's third-place finisher, Alonso, with 111. David Coulthard holds this track dear to his heart. He had one of the best views of the race from his BBC commentary box. Laura spoke to him to get his views on the 2013 British Grand Prix.
BBC, review that race for us.
Well, there's a number of issues, actually, isn't it? There's the real safety issue of the fact we've had four tyre failures during the Grand Prix. But if you put to one side the fact that no one was injured and the safety cars came out as a result of those, and what that did do was allow both Mark and Lewis Hamilton, who suffered, Mark from a bad start, Lewis from the tyre failure, allowed them to come back into play later in the Grand Prix. So I think we had a very exciting end to the race. Obviously, a big disappointment for Red Bull and Sebastian Vettel. They had some gearbox-related issue, and he's lost drive. Very unusual in modern Formula 1 to have that sort of issue. And he was looking pretty comfortable out front. Being kept honest by Nico Rosberg, it has to be said, the Mercedes definitely has taken a step forward in its overall tyre management. Exciting for the World Championship, and there's no question about that. We all want to see exciting close racing, rather than, no matter where your loyalties lie, you don't want to know that you're winning every weekend, because then it gets a little bit less exciting. So I think that as a sport, there'll be a big review on what's happening with the tyres. From an inter-team battle point of view, Red Bull can feel comfortable that they've still got good pace and they're running at the front. Mercedes have now got in front of Ferrari in the Constructors' Championship, so Ferrari might be a bit, wondering what's going on. That said, Kimi and Fernando just keep getting the podiums, don't they? So I think that there's a number of good stories out there, some great wheel-to-wheel action. I think Mark's come back, and the way he ran wheel-to-wheel with Kimi Raikkonen through Copse, one of the fastest corners, it showed great sporting respect. And I think the way that Sebastian handled the disappointment of the failure was the sort of mark of his maturity and what have you. The understanding that your desire is to win every race, but you certainly won't.
Were you worried at any point when you were watching that race with what was happening with the tyres?
I was, because I've had tyre failures before and I crashed as a result of them. But the drivers are a lot better nowadays. They don't seem to crash. But when you see debris flying around, it's worrying for the drivers. And then, of course, the marshals have to go out there and recover the broken bits.
Give us three words that describe the atmosphere here today.
Oh, it's been like a festival, it's been electric, and it's been exciting. So there's three words in amongst a bunch of other words.
There's been lots of celebrities milling around today. If you had to choose one as your favourite, who would that be and why?
Well, I would say Amanda Holden, because she's a friend, and my buddy married her, and I was the best man at the wedding. So I've obviously got... And she's a bit of a celeb. But there's been a number of famous faces out on the grid, of course, and moving around the paddock. I love cooking programmes, so I'd probably say James Martin from Saturday Kitchen.
Okay, brilliant. And what are you doing tonight?
I will be at the team principal of Red Bull Racing's barbecue at his home, enjoying the sun going down, enjoying a beer with the Red Arrows, who I was lucky enough to fly with for a feature with Lewis Hamilton for the BBC, and reminiscing of how fast I think I used to be, and I'll have people there reminding me actually how slow I really was.
Will we see you on the Bucking Bronco?
I would love to get my leg over, so you'll see me in the Bucking Bronco.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
As we mentioned earlier, Silverstone is one of the classic tracks favoured amongst the drivers. Laura spoke to our reserve driver to see what he likes so much about the track. Here's Sebastian Buemi.
So Sebastian, start by telling us about Le Mans last weekend.
It was a great race. I'm really happy at the end of the day, because to end up on the second place on the podium, that was great and big achievement from the team. So, that's good. And just look forward to be back next year, and hopefully we'll win.
What goes through your mind when you're on that step on the podium?
I was a fantastic feeling. There were so many people below the podium. I've never seen something like this, so I just tried to picture it in my head. Mm-hmm. And to remember it for a long time, because it was a great feeling. And you know, after such a long race, to go on the podium and achieve something like this, that was definitely good.
And can you take us on a lap of the Silverstone circuit?
Silverstone is a crazy circuit, as everyone can imagine, with so many high-speed corners. So you've got the first couple of corners, very high-speed corner, above 270 kph. And then you've got a section of two very slow-speed corners where you go down to second gear. And after that, a very long straight where you can activate the DRS into corner six. We've got some great overtaking today. It was very nice to see. And then the old last corner, followed by a very long straight again. We've seen a few overtaking as well there. And then definitely the best place around the circuit with cops, maggots and beckets. It's a fantastic area with a lot of high-speed corners above 200 kph again. And then you're already nearly in the last sector, going down to Stowe, long straight, DRS. Possible there as well, so we've seen a few overtaking there as well, and then you're already in the last chicane. Difficult to overtake there. You've got the pit entry on your right side, and it's a second gear corner, and then that's it. You exit the right hand corner onto the start and finish line.
And you joined us at the Whittlebury campsite appearance yesterday. Can you describe to our listeners what that was like?
That was quite nice, to be honest. I've been there with DC and Christian last year already, so I knew the place. It's impressive to see so many people, you know, there, and they really enjoy the weekend, and you know, they camp there, so that's just a nice feeling to see those people. And it was sunny and the weather was good, so we're not used to this in Silverstone, but that was good to see that everyone was really happy.
Have you ever been camping before?
I did some camping, but in the garden of my parents' house, not really far away.
Proper camping. Would you be game for trying proper camping?
Yeah, why not? Why not? It's not coming up to my mind, you know, when I have some free time, but why not, yeah?
Yeah. Okay, cool. And what's next for you?
Yeah, next thing is basically Germany, as everyone can understand. We are back in Nürburgring next week.
Okay, great. Well, good luck. We'll speak to you again then.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Silverstone attracts movie stars, sports legends and world-famous musicians. JLS member Marvin Humes has been DJing for us over the weekend. Laura went and spoke to him to find out how his set went.
So I'm joined by Marvin from JLS. Marvin, could you start by telling us what brings you here this weekend?
Well, I've been invited by Red Bull to come and DJ. This morning I was in the hospitality suite DJing for all of the guests there. I did like an hour set, and, you know, it was fantastic to be here at Silverstone. So it's a great reason to be here to DJ, and also I get to see the qualifying today. So, yeah, it's really, really exciting.
Could you tell us three of the tracks that you played up there?
One of my favourite tracks at the moment. It's been out for a little while, but I still love it. Chris Malinchak is so good to me. It's just chilled. Reminds me of being on the beach. I love it. I played a song which is quite new that I think is going to be a massive hit this summer. It's called Jack by a DJ called Breach. Once you hear it, you'll never forget it.
That's my favourite too. I just posted it on my Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. It's wicked. It's such a big tune. I was in Marbella a couple of nights ago DJing, and I dropped that and it just went off. It was crazy. So I played that at the end. And another one I played was Jesse Ware running the Disclosure remix. Yeah, so it was a good little set.
And have you ever been to an F1 race before?
I have, yeah. I went to the F1 in Bahrain years ago. I think it was the first race at the circuit. It was about 7 or 8 years ago, I think it was. I just remember it being blisteringly hot. It was obviously in the desert. And yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed it. It's my first time here at Silverstone today, though.
And how does the Bahrain circuit compare to the Silverstone one?
Well, I suppose it's that the desert vibe. Obviously, I see the actual proper race tomorrow. But I suppose I said it was really hot in Bahrain. I think I'd just like it to be that hot here.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Wishful thinking, maybe it'll happen.
Exactly.
Okay, so tell us what's next for you.
Well, me and the JLS boys, and obviously this is our final year together, but we've got still a busy year, the rest of the year, lots of shows over the summer, and then at the end end of the year, we've got a big Greatest Hits campaign releasing a Greatest Hits album, and then a Greatest Hits tour, which will be our final tour. That starts the end of November through till December the 22nd. And our very last show ever as a band will be at the O2 Arena on the 22nd of December. So, it's obviously mixed feelings. It's, it's kind of bittersweet. It's great to be doing another arena tour, but obviously it's our last one, so it's going to be emotional. And obviously, 6-7 years of our lives together, we've had such great success. Obviously, the next step for me individually is my DJing career. I've got a show on Capital now on Friday and Saturday nights, 7 till 10. And I am DJing all over Europe this summer, and I've got plans to put together like a dance album that I'll look to, release at some point next year.
On that note, what song would you recommend to add to the playlist that the boys play in the garage when they're working on the RB9?
It's got to be Jack.
Okay.
Definitely, yeah.
One of the other big names enjoying the Silverstone paddock this weekend was Di Green, the world champion hurdler. Laura went to see what he likes about Formula One.
So, world champion hurdler Di Green joins me now. Di, is this your first time at an F1 race?
Yes, it is. First time at any Grand Prix. It's great to be here. I've been treated by the Red Bull guys, and it's quite an experience. It's fantastic to be in the pits at garage as well when they were out there qualifying, and really, really enjoyed myself.
Can you describe to our listeners what it's like when you're in the garage and qualifying's taking place?
Yeah, you've got the headphones on. You can hear the conversation between the drivers and the staff, and there's so much going on, so much precision, and everyone's doing their job seamlessly as if they've done it 100 times before, and you can see the tension and also the anxiety that you want your drivers to do well, and you can really feel the buzz and feel the energy from the car, and it's a fantastic place to be to watch it all.
And would you say you've got a flavour for F1 now?
Hey, I've always enjoyed F1. I always follow it, and it's great to get an inside look at how it works and be on the front line, I guess, and just very, very lucky.
And what's next for you personally? What's your next goal?
I've got a lot of races coming up. It's sort of it's midsummer now, so it's full into our athletic season. I'm racing tomorrow in Birmingham Grand Prix, and then the World Champs is the pinnacle of the season, and in August, and that's in Moscow.
Busy time then. Favourite F1 driver?
It's a tough one. I've been following the Red Bull guys the last few years, Webber and Vettel. It's been sad to see Mark go at the end of the year, but also got a soft spot for the Brits. Hamilton's been doing incredibly well the last few years, and I'm interested to see how he's going to cope with his new team. He seems to be doing okay so far. So those are the guys that I tend to watch as much as possible, but also quite a big fan of Raikkonen. He's very, very funny, but also very serious, and I love supporting him too.
Final question, what would be your podium prediction for tomorrow's race?
I think it's going to be Vettel 1, Webber 2. I'm not sure who's going to get third. I think the Mercedes tyres are going to go off pretty soon, so the Red Bulls are going to come through, and I think that the first two spots is sewn up, but the third's still available.
Well, we wish you lots of luck with your race tomorrow. We'll catch you again soon.
Cheers, thank you.
Silverstone also attracted a Spice Girl in the form of Jerry Halliwell. Laura went and caught up with her alongside Christian Horner.
Okay, so I'm joined by Christian and Jerry Halliwell here. Could you start by telling us how you met each other?
How did we meet? I met you in Monaco a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And then we met at a shoot about a couple of months back.
Yeah.
Where you were giving us a hard time, so I thought I'd better invite her to Silverstone.
Yeah,
right. Okay. And we've got 5 questions that we've formed around Spice Girls song titles that we want to ask both of you quickly now.
Okay.
So the first one is, how do you spice up your life?
Coming to coming to amazing races like this.
Okay. Christian?
How do I spice that? You invite a Spice Girl, obviously.
There you go. If you could be any driver on track, past or present, who would you want to be and why?
I would want to be Sebastian Vettel, easily. He's amazing.
And Christian?
Nigel Mansell had a fantastic moustache, so he was very popular here.
Okay. What one thing in your daily life would you stop right now if you could?
These are getting worse. Travelling.
Moaning.
Okay. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given by your mama?
Enjoy now.
Okay, Christian?
Always change your underwear.
Okay. And then final question, who do you really, really want to win today?
Red Bull.
And then, Jerry, one more question for you. If you had a message for the ladies of Formula One, what would it be?
I think it's the ladies of Formula One, support the backbone of...
So girl power.
Yeah, completely. Without them, they wouldn't be as good.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay, bye.
Fresh from the Britain's Got Talent finals, Amanda Holden came to soak up the atmosphere at Silverstone. Laura went to find out how she was enjoying her experience.
Okay, so I'm joined by Amanda Holden. Welcome, Amanda.
Hello.
You joined us in Monaco as well. Could you tell us how your weekend in Silverstone is comparing so far?
I'm slightly more sober on this weekend. Monaco has a kind of week's lead up to it, so we got there a lot rather earlier than we did here and drank too much.
So better?
More coherent today, yes. I followed the race properly. And I know what I'm talking about today.
Okay, and would you consider yourself a petrol head?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think it's the sexiest sport in the world, and I think there's nothing that compares to it. The excitement, the buzz, the atmosphere, the noise, the people involved. It's a fantastic thing to be part of.
You were a judge on Britain's Got Talent. What do you think of the talent of our drivers? Would they get a yes from you?
Oh, well, I mean, Vettel must be so gutted. He was doing so well. But for Webber to come up from 14th to second was just incredible. So for me, he's definitely through to the next round. I can't wait to see what's in the bag.
I'm sure he'll be pleased with that. What's next for you then? What's your next project?
My autobiography comes out in September, the 27th, I believe. And so I shall be promoting the arse off that. So buy it.
That's really good timing, actually, because we do our flyaway races start around September. So we've got lots of long-haul flights, which enable us lots of time to read.
Maybe I'll do an audio one as well, so you can talk to
me. Oh, there you go. Okay, thanks very much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
We couldn't have a Silverstone Grand Prix and not speak to our old friend Goldie. He's becoming a resident here. Laura spoke to him earlier.
Okay, so I'm joined by my favourite ever Rebel Racing guest. That's the legend that is Goldie. Goldie, welcome.
And favourite DJ as well.
And favourite DJ.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, God, it's very emotional today, wasn't it?
Yeah, very emotional.
You would have expected that. I think old Pirelli going to be in for a bit of a roasting this week.
What was the atmosphere like inside the garage where you were watching?
It was brilliant, but now point at the end, as ever. I mean, to be fair, if you would have said what would have happened, you would have took second from 15th to second. The Red Bull got it right. They got everything right with the team and all the changes. And unfortunately, fifth gear in the car obviously failed and whatever else. But stuff happens, and had a great run. And I think it's fended everything off really. And I think Germany's going to be exciting. But I just couldn't wait to get here. And it was
straight in from Moscow.
Yeah, I did St. Petersburg with the Slim Biscuit and finished. Went back to the hotel. Got 3 hours sleep, got changed and left at 3 a.m, straight to Munich. It was the only flight available. Get back to Heathrow, went home and my bath was ready for me, jumped in the bath and then washed me nuts and back out and then straight up here. And the good thing about it was being a little bit late was great because it's only like half an hour for me. And if we would have got here, everyone this morning saw the sun and went, right, let's all go early. So we just come here, we didn't stop until we got to the paddock. So I'm like, brilliant, fashionably late.
And what was Glastonbury like?
It's tonight. I'm doing after this. Okay. Yeah, so it's been a bit of a mad
straight
weekend. Yeah, so I'm closing at Shangri-La stage tonight at 4 a.m. this morning. So it's been good because if I'd have played any earlier, I would have, I don't know what would have happened. So I'm going to go home again, have another bath.
If there came a point and you had to choose between Silverstone and Glastonbury, which would you choose?
Oh, I would not say that. Well, contractually, I'm tied to Glastonbury. You know what I mean? But vibes-wise, I think this has been a beautiful day. It's been really, really beautiful.
We've been running the hashtag push the boundaries on our Twitter this year, so we want to know how Goldie pushes the boundaries. I think you've touched on quite a few already.
I think I've touched them, to be honest, because I look back, I've averaged a painting every 3 weeks. I've done my bloody Bikram yoga average 3 to 5 days a week, and looking after the little one who's just about to hit 2. And if it wasn't for the wife, if it wasn't for me keeping me up, I don't know how I would have done it. You know, I've been doing 2-3 gigs a week, and it's been mental. It's been a mental year. It really has. So I think roll on the Art Show in September. Then I'll be happy. And top of all that, I've done 4 tables as well.
Oh,
I've made 4 tables in between.
It's a bit of carpentry.
Yeah, a bit of carpentry and a bit of painting. Put me coffee on, keep me going.
Very good. And we want you to nominate a song for the garage playlist to keep the boys motivated.
Oh, it's got to be Pollution Beck.
Okay, great. And final question.
Yeah.
What's the best thing about being a guest of Red Bull Racing?
I think lovely Law, yourself, you've been beautiful, you've been fantastic, and she's not winking at me, lads. No, she's not. She's not flapping her eyebrows or her eyelids. She's not. She's sitting 10 foot away from me and looking rather staunch. You've been great. It's been great, all the Red Bull team, and I think it's, you know, it's really weird. I was at a Bond gala the other night in Stoke House.
I saw the photos.
And the great thing about it is they have a family vibe, and Red Bull have that real family vibe, and that's what I love. All the mechanics and the garage guys, they're just a laugh, and it really puts a spirit in it. Okay. Right, Red Bull for life.
Thanks.
As well as drum and bass royalty in the paddock this weekend, we were also joined by some rock legends. The Klaxons were soaking up the atmosphere on the energy station. Laura spoke to them to see if they were liking their F1 experience.
Okay, so I've got the Klaxons with me now. Could you start by introducing yourself to our listeners?
Hello, I'm James.
Hello, I'm Simon.
And together we are half Klaxons.
The other half of Glastonbury, by the way.
Okay, yes. Very good. You're missing out.
No,
I think they're missing out. That's what we've decided. Our grand conclusion from today is that Formula One events are a lot better than festivals.
Wow, that seems like... ask Goldie to make the call, and he asked that I didn't ask the question.
No, ask away. Honestly, it's way better.
Okay. And is this your first F1 race?
Yes, it is.
Will it be your last?
No. Can you have us back?
Yes, definitely. Where did you watch the race from today?
We actually watched the start from inside the jacuzzi, as yep. It's referred to, which I believe the professional name is probably the
viewing gallery.
The viewing gallery, yep. The viewing jacuzzi. And then we went out and actually watched a bit up on the track. There, which was insane, just to see the speed.
So you've got two different perspectives there.
Yeah.
Tell us one thing about yourselves that no one else knows.
I'm a raging alcoholic. Honey, joking.
We're huge closet Formula One fans.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there we go, yeah.
Evident today.
Oh, I've got another one. Okay. I actually like to fish.
Have you ever caught anything?
Many things, yeah. Not fly fishing, which is more rock and roll of the fishing.
James has got a hat with a quite strange slogan on it.
Yeah, it's Bass Pro Shop, which is an American fishing shop, which my friend got me a hat from.
So. I'm going to try and get a Red Bull one today to replace it with.
Yeah.
Okay.
If Red Bull could sponsor fishing, then I think that would be literally the dream come
fishing.
True. Yeah, extreme.
Give us one lyric that inspires you to push the boundaries.
We could be heroes just for one day.
Nice. I'll be the same, yeah. I have my heroes as well.
Okay. If you were to reinvent yourselves as wrestlers, what would your stage name be?
Fisherman Joe.
Mine would be Steve Dubs. We have there's a guy we worked on a record, and he just has the amazing face of what I imagine a wrestler to be like when he smiles.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like a kind of ginger carrot cake.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
He's very, very, very talented.
He's got the most amazing big smile.
Yeah. And he always sleeps when you're in the studio. He always has like a half an hour nap on the floor. He's able to listen to music and sleep at the same time, and then be judgmental about it, which is, I've never met anyone else who's got that.
I think if you were a wrestler and you had the ability to make other people sleep, that'd be quite...
Do you know what it is? It's a sleeper hold.
Yeah, I mean, he personifies the sleeper hold.
Sleeper hold.
Okay, I'd quite like to meet him.
He likes Formula One as well, actually.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Are you bringing him with you next time?
Yeah, please.
Okay, and what's next for you? What's your next project?
We've just finished our new record, which is going to be out next year, so, so that's the next thing that's coming.
Hopefully a track.
Not a title, but it's sounding really, really, I think it's our best yet, and it's quite dancey. It's with Tom from the Chemical Brothers, who's done a lot of it, and it's, can't wait till it comes out.
Hopefully some music later on this year, and then the album next year.
Okay, we wish you lots of luck with that. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
We also had some of the massive rebel athletes here over the weekend. Laura spoke to snowboarder Amy Fuller and mountain biker G. Atherton.
G, could you start by telling us about your three first place finishes so far this year?
Yeah, it's been a very good season so far. We started the season with a few British rounds. I managed to take the win at the first one. And then we went straight into the start of the World Cup season, which I managed to win the first round on home soil in Fort William and win the second round out in Italy 2 weeks ago.
Talking of your home ground, Silverstone is our local race, so if we were to win here this weekend, that would hold a kind of extra bit of magic. Do you think the same can be true for winning at Fort William for you?
Yeah, for sure. It's when you're on your home ground, you've got your home crowd there. Everyone wants to see a British winner. You know, all your family are there, your friends, all your sponsors, and you know, it gives it that slightly more magical feel, and you know, it puts the pressure on a little bit more, but at the same time it makes the win all that more sweet.
And is this your first time at an F1 race?
It is, yeah, first time, and you know, very impressed so far. It's an incredible setup. Just how much, you know, how big it is, how much attention it's getting, you know, how professional it all is, and you know, it's inspiring to see. You know, it's very, very impressive.
Was it what you expected?
It was and it wasn't. It's you know, I knew it was going to be a big deal, but you know, when you're at the race and you hear the cars going around and you see just how much hype and how much excitement there is there, and you know, how excited all the fans are, it's amazing to see, and you know, to feel that excitement in the paddock and stuff.
And I just looked up your profile on the rebel.com website, and the strap line there is, if you're in control, you aren't going fast enough. Now, Seb and Mark need to be pushing the boundaries but still in control when they're in the car. Does that, given what you've said, does that make it a little less thrilling for you, or do you think it's different being in a car to being on a bike?
Well, hard to say. You know, obviously I've never had that experience of driving an F1 car, but you know, from watching it, I can see the when they're racing and when they are battling, you know, how on the edge they are is amazing. It's such a fine line that they must have to walk. I mean, balancing that edge between the speed and then going too far and pushing too hard and crashing, you know, is a very fine line, I think. And, you know, to see how those guys handle it is amazing. And, you know, to see how long they're stood on that centre line, just balancing the two is very impressive.
And you join us here for free practice, having toured the factory this morning. What would you say was the most exciting part of the tour?
I think at the end, you know, we got to see the car kind of broken down, and you got to see inside it, and you know, just to see how much technology goes into it and how much manpower and man hours goes into each small part of the factory was amazing. You know, the car was very impressive, and when you get up close and see the detail in it, that was my favourite bit.
Okay, cool. And last question. If you had to sum up your experience of Formula One today in one word, what would that one word be?
Exciting.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm joined by Amy Fuller. Amy, could you start by telling our listeners what it is that you do?
I am a slopestyle snowboarder. So basically that involves sliding around on a snowy mountain, doing various tricks over obstacles in the form of jumps and rails, and then it's judged overall on technicality, ability, style, etc, etc.
Okay, and you're also a member of the Red Bull family. When did that come about?
I've been with Red Bull for like 9 months now. I signed the end of September, so very exciting time it's been this year, and some amazing opportunities have come about, so it's been an absolute blast to have become part of the family and meet the rest of the team.
And you're the first female, we understand, to do a double backflip on a snowboard. Could you describe to our listeners what it's like when you're mid-loop?
Basically, yeah, I guess it's a good bit of an adrenaline rush, a lot of core. It's a very fast manoeuvre, so it's all about trying to slow it down in your head, as it is super quick off the mark, and when you see that landing, it's all about like bringing your feet down, stomping it and riding away. But yeah, it definitely gives you a good kick in terms of adrenaline.
And do you think a triple loop could be possible in future in a contest?
I'm not sure about triples. I'd like to move further on with the double progression. It's still something that's fairly new in female snowboarding, and I think there's potential for it to go a lot further. There's so many new different tricks happening right now, and I'd like to keep going forward with the progression and try and learn a few variations of the different doubles and maybe move into double corks.
And could you tell us a little bit about your experience of the Formula One factory that you visited this morning?
The Formula One factory was unreal. Like, I never expected it to be on such a scale as what it was. I walked in and I was mind blown, to be honest. Like, the amount of people there working on like things that I wouldn't even consider or think of, from like the tiniest parts of the car to the general functioning of the whole racing team. It was unreal to see like everyone there, and the fact that it's here in the UK is awesome.
Cool. And have you ever been to an F1 race before?
No, never. So yeah, very excited to be here, and it's, yeah, the atmosphere is just buzzing. Like, everyone's, yeah, really sort of tight-knit sort of adrenaline feeling I'm getting. It's, yeah, an exciting vibe.
It's very British weather here today. Is that a thriller or a killer for you?
You know, it's a thriller and a killer in the same way. At least we're staying true to our roots. You know, Britain is performing in style, as always, with its weather. Low cloud and drizzle, but, yeah, hopefully it's going to clear up for the rest of the weekend, so we can, yeah, get a bit of sun and get a bit of a tan on the go. We'll see what happens.
Cool. All right, thanks very much.
No worries.
Final word here at Silverstone goes to our team principal, Christian Horner. Katie spoke to him after the race.
So, Christian, another Silverstone race done. Is this your favourite race in the calendar?
It's always a busy weekend, it's a fun weekend, and the weather's actually been fantastic today. The race was action-packed start to finish, and a story of two halves for us, just desperately disappointed to get within 10 laps and lose the race with Seb, but you know, Mark's recovery and coming so close to getting the victory back was a fantastic drive. So mixed emotions, on one side gutted to have lost the race, and on the other side, you know, very happy with how Mark drove today.
You've been staying at home this week. What difference does that make to your race preparation and during the race weekend?
It just means I get to sleep in my own bed for a race weekend, which is quite a pleasant experience when you travel so many times during the year and you live in hotels and suitcases. So.
And what are your plans for this evening?
This evening we've got a bit of a barbecue for members of the team and some other friends and family, so it'll probably be a bit of karaoke. We'll probably destroy a few Beatles songs a bit later.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to hearing about it next week.
No problem. We'll see you then.
Well, that's it for this edition of the podcast. Round 9 is next, this time in Sebastian's home nation, Germany. Until then, take care.